So there's a lot of unique things we do on Sundays that we don't do in our normal everyday life. So when's the last time you called some of your friends and said, come in my backyard and let's just start singing? I'm going to put up just a slide, a projector, and let's start singing some stuff. When's the last time you said, I want you to come over, all your buddies. I'm going to read your story. It doesn't happen, right? When's the last time you said, listen, you called 10 or 15 members of your family, said, come over, I want to preach a message to you. I want you to sit in my backyard, and I'm going to stand up alone. No one else talk. I'm going to preach a message to you. And they say, what do we do? I say, just listen. That doesn't happen in everyday life, does it? The unique means of grace that happen on Sunday morning that God has called us to as the people of God. As we spoke about last week, first of all, we come, it's called a service because we serve God by exalting his name, by worshiping him, by doing what we were created for. Of course, if you're worshiping God, what happens? You are filled, you are refreshed, you are encouraged, but we never make the secondary thing primary. And thirdly, we are filled as we fellowship with one another. It's so encouraging to see you guys every Sunday. It's so encouraging. We'll talk about this later in the sermon series, but a lot of times what we talk about on Sunday is focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's focused on the redemption of God. It's focused on the glory of the gospel. It's focused on, I hear many of us say, just God's grace is amazing to me. And even though we know that every day in a special, emphasized way on Sunday, we rejoice in the grace upon grace that God has poured out upon our lives. And today we're going to talk about the public reading of Scripture, how Timothy is instructed by the Apostle Paul. He says, devote yourself to the public reading of Scriptures when you gather. One of my favorite times of my childhood was when my mom used to read stories to me. Did anyone have parents who sat them down and read books to them and read stories to them? I remember it was just such a comforting time. It was such a safe time. It was such a set-aside time. I felt so safe. I would learn. I'd be happy. I'd be joyful. One of my favorite books was, anyone remember Make Way for the Ducklings? The Boston Classic? All right? That's homegrown. I used to love that book, and I read it with my mother, and I loved all the names of the ducks, and I loved the comfort I get from it. And I would just listen. I would listen. The Berenstain Bears, come on now. 1964, they're classic, though. They're timeless. And any Curious George book my mother could get her hands on and read to me, I was all about Curious George. It was a wonderful time where I felt so comforted. I felt so loved. And I would just sit there having the words read to me. Now today, as we grow in corporate discipline, okay, it's corporate spiritual discipline. So Christianity is not an isolated religion. So Eastern religions will falsely teach that the individual is at the center of healthy and powerful living. That it's you, and look inside of you, and you are great, and you are valuable, and you are powerful, and you have no limits, right? That's that individual Eastern religion philosophy. The Christian faith is a communal religion. God died to redeem a family. When he called Abraham, he didn't say, Abraham, I'm going to save you and redeem you. He said, Abraham, I'm saving you so I can redeem a people that are beyond the measure of the stars. You can't even number them. And so what we do, we want to focus first on corporate disciplines. Corporate disciplines where we come together to be loved by God and loved by God and grow in godliness and grow in our understanding of the gospel. And then it branches out to our individual disciplines. Do you guys hear that? So today we're really talking about a corporate discipline of how do we listen when the word of God is read. So if you would turn with me to 1 Timothy 4:13. Now, it's not a long verse today. I'm going to make it nice and easy on you on listening to this today. But it says, until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. I'm going to read that again. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. So I want us to focus on this word right here, devote. When you think about devotion, what do you think about? I would say this. In an unhealthy way, a helpful way to understand devotion is obsession. Okay, you ever been obsessed with something? And I'm so obsessed with this, I can't get it out of my mind. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop it. It's all I ever think of. When I'm talking to someone, I'm not even there. I'm obsessed with something else. That's an unhealthy side of devotion, is obsession. Devotion is a holy way, is like King David said. What does he say? All day and all night, I meditate on your word. And like we read this morning, our first public reading of Scripture, what does it say? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, making wise the simple, safety, it guards me. I want us to be a family that is devoted to the public reading of Scripture, because it's what we delight in a healthy, holy way, obsess about. There's two things. Everyone asks, why would you devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture? And I want to say first this. Every generation has a problem with authority. We don't trust authority. We're suspicious of authority. Why do they want me to do this? Why should I do this? It's a natural suspicion. I want us to fully, in a devoted way, trust all the words of Jesus, all the words of the apostles, all of the words of the Holy Scriptures, because they're the words of God. Amen? And so I don't have to be suspicious about what God tells me. So there's something beautiful. When we talk about baptism, what's the beautiful thing that we should start with baptism? Jesus said to do it. If you gave me no explanation, I'll be okay finding out in heaven. Because I know I can fully trust him. I know his character. I know he died for me. I know anything he tells me is going to benefit me. And so my first thing, when the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, devote yourself to the Scriptures, I fully trust that. But then, because God is so loving, he tells us about the benefits. So the second reason why is first, because of safety. Safety. There's safety in listening to the public reading of Scripture. So I want to start here. What can become unhealthy is when the Scriptures are only used in emergency room situations. That I am only looking up Psalm 91 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 24 because I'm in an emergency room situation. The reason words are spoken when they're supposed to be spoken in safety is first preventative. The wise Christian heeds the words of Scripture and listens to the words of God because they are preventative. For example, every time I go to the dentist, she tells me to floss more. I hear her. She goes through the routine. She gives me the toothbrush, beautiful new floss, you know, and I listen there. But there's a difference between hearing and listening at times. You know what I go home and do? Nothing. I say, they'll take care of it at the next cleaning. You know when I start to pay attention to the dentist? When they tell me I got a cavity. Then it becomes an emergency room situation. Right? Why didn't I listen when she told me to floss? We don't have this in the budget. Don't make the whole left side of my body go numb again. Shoot that Novocaine, right? I get in this situation where I'm like, we don't have the money. It's going to hurt when they drill Novocaine. So all of a sudden, now I'm listening to every word. Do you think it could be a root canal? Like all this stuff. You have my ears now because it's an emergency room situation. There are times just living in a broken, sinful world that we turn to the word of God because we're in an emergency room situation. But I would say a larger portion of that should be us heeding the word of God so we prevent harm and prevent danger and prevent trouble and prevent, because we heed the warning, amen? So that's one beautiful thing. When we sit under the reading of the Scripture, all of a sudden I'm learning how to live wisely and live safely and prevent disastrous situations. Because I no longer have to come and every time it's an emergency. I'm in dire straits. It's a life or death situation because I heeded all the warnings along the road till so disaster didn't strike. Does that make sense to everyone? When you're leading. Secondly, there's a training for godliness. You are made to want to master your life. You are made to want to walk in maturity. You are made to want to be a disciplined person. The only way to be trained in godliness is through the revelation of God, how to live godly. So in this text, in 1 Timothy 4, what is happening there? He is warning, Apostle Paul is warning Timothy of false teachers. He's saying people are going astray because of false teaching. You've got to safeguard against this. And what did he say? Combated false teaching and danger and harm. Public reading of Scripture. Because if someone's teaching a false doctrine, right? I just want to go back on safety a little bit and I'll come to training in godliness. If someone is whispering to you things that are not of God, and they're saying, oh, you just have to evolve with the times. This is okay now. And all these kind of things are saying things that are contrary to the gospel, contrary to sound doctrine. And you hear that whispering in the people of God. What happens when one of the pastors get up and they read sound doctrine? All the falsehoods are challenged. People are set free. People are guarded. The false teachers get uncomfortable. You crush things that could do harm. Do you guys hear that? Public reading of Scripture, when you read it out, it combats false doctrine and it crushes the enemy. False teachers are never comfortable when you read the Scriptures publicly because it exposes the darkness. Why did they kill Jesus? One of the reasons. Because his light was exposing their darkness. They said, we can't have this light here anymore. It's exposing our darkness. The Pharisees hated that. He called them devourer widows. And he said they were doing it for the fame and the recognition and the power and the glory. He was exposing their darkness. When you publicly read the Scriptures, it exposes the darkness. For those who want to live in falsehoods, it's an uncomfortable thing. But those who hunger for the light are beautifully fed and enlightened and awakened to the truth of God. Amen? That's when we read that little public Scriptures, so powerful. Now, training in godliness, getting back to mastering. How do I manage my life? How do I manage my money? How do I make wise decisions? How do I treat my neighbor? How do I love my church family? What do I live for? What has value? What carries weight? How do I respond? We want to master these things. We want to live in a godly manner because living godly leads to satisfaction. It leads to happiness. It leads to joy. When we sit under the Word of God and we listen to that public reading, all of a sudden it's the manual of how to live a fulfilling life, even if it's hard. What was David saying? He said, it makes wise the simple. And let me tell you something. It's a beautiful thing to recognize we are simple people that need the wisdom of God. It's a beautiful thing. That simple people like us are made wise with the timeless words of Scripture so that we can live godly and fulfilling lives that last and echo for eternity. I want to be trained for godliness. You want to be trained for godliness. How do we live when we hear those Scriptures? It teaches us. What a loving God that just doesn't leave us running around in confusion, lost in this world, but says, no, come find clarity. Walk on the road of life and wisdom so that you might know me, live fruitfully, and have rewards here and in heaven. Amen? You know, so I'm a decent drawer, for those of you who don't know. I can draw mean goofy. But I've always been an okay drawer. It just came naturally. I can draw. But I got stuck at where I could learn myself. So I look at stuff and I draw. I finally said one day, I'm not maximizing my enjoyment of drawing. I'm not maximizing my gift. I'm not mastering this. And please don't hear me saying I'm a master drawer right now. I just drew Popeye. It was a good one, though. I draw all things I love, like Popeye, Goofy, things I'm scared of, like sharks. I love beta fish. I drew a beta fish. I did it. Don't judge me. But I finally said, I need to learn more on how to do this. I hunger for this. I need to discipline myself. I need to stop and look. I started watching these instructional videos on the basics of drawing. After 4 times of just sitting and listening, you know how much my drawing has grown? My family's like, what's going on here? I come out like, see this golden retriever puppy? What do you think? You didn't know I could do that. But it's because I sat down, I listened how to grow in something and mastering it. People of God, family of God, my brothers and sisters, God has not called you to live on the same, at the same level of knowledge or maturity of godliness. He has called you every day that through the listening of his word and through sitting under the word to grow in Christ. That's the purpose of Christ, the purpose of the church. What does it say? Gather, that the body of Christ might grow to maturity to know the stature of Christ and be more like Jesus. That's why we do what we do. And so when we sit under the word of God and we really apply it, and like Jesus said, do you ever notice that when he finished preaching, he say, him who has an ear, let him hear? Because just because you hear something, like I said, doesn't mean it's hitting here and here. He wanted to say, I just spoke the words of life, that if you truly hear them, you'll be changed and you will grow in godliness. But to only those who hear. What does Solomon say in Proverbs? If you look at the first 11 chapters of Proverbs, it's Solomon saying to his sons, listen to me. He always starts off, he says, listen, son, come here. Listen, I need you to change your mindset. I need you to get rid of distractions, because what I'm about to speak is going to give you life and protect you. And that's how we need to be with the corporate spiritual discipline of listening to the public reading of Scripture. Now, I want to give you some practical ways to maximize when we read the Scriptures publicly, to maximize that spiritual practice so you grow in it. You know, distraction is an enemy to focus. Being distracted is a foe to listening. And intentionality is the key to undivided attention. So you have to be intentional about being focused. And I want to give you just 3 things as we think about what that looks like. Because we live in a world, right, because of us, that is constantly distracted. I mean, I can't talk to you without seeing a Facebook like. You see that? You know, it's very hard. And it always has been very hard, even for social media, to be present and listen. But as the people of God, we're called to practice different things for the glory of God and for our betterment, our growth, that we might be better lights. So, for instance, when I watch a movie, no activity. I might be legalistic with movie watching. But I'm telling you, if it's a big, like, I watched Split the other day, that movie was serious. Anyone see Split? Wow. I haven't watched a good movie in a while. Like, I was like, I got to sit down and watch a movie. So me and Natalie on date night, we watched Split. And it's an intense part. I won't give the movie away, but it's towards the end. You guys know what I'm talking about. And the whole story's about to unfold. And know what Natalie does? She starts eating tapioca pudding next to me. That breaks all my hidden law. You don't break out the tapioca pudding when the movie's about to unfold, right? We're sitting in bed with the laptop. I've just 1 hour and 15 minutes for this thing to unfold, and it's happening. She sits up in the bed, grabs some tapioca pudding. I said, Natalie, this is against all our rules. I stopped the movie, and I said, we got to take this in right now, right? How much more when we come and sit under the word of God? Should we have a strategy? Because we come here with teams, so you got to strategize with your team. Because you might be in a family where you got someone playing Candy Crush. They're reading scripture. They're like, you know what? You might need to strategize and be intentional in saying, we need to get our hearts and our minds and our ears ready to listen. Maybe on the drive over here, before you get here, you're saying, listen, family, friend, speaking to yourself maybe. When we're practicing these corporate disciplines, when we're sitting under the reading of Scripture, maybe some dad say, listen, in a loving manner, this is why it's important, family. We need to be undistracted. I want everyone ready to listen to the Word of God so it has an impact, right? And we're all in this together. So if we all are intentionally saying the public reading of Scripture, we need to be devoted and undistracted, you're going to have a place of reverence towards God's Word and a place where the people of God are growing in safety and righteousness. Amen? That's healthy. Be intentional about being focused. That's the only way you will not be distracted. Secondly, it is a healthy thing to arrive at church early. It's a healthy thing. Now, I don't want anyone condemned. There's always going to be people arriving late at church, right? This is not for condemnation, but part of the job of a pastor is to call you to do things that are going to benefit your soul. And what benefits your soul, what's the first thing we do at every service? We open up a psalm, we call people to worship, and we do a public reading of Scripture. It is very hard. It's going to be hard for you if you're running through that door to get in a place where you can prepare your heart and your ears and your mind to listen. Do you guys hear that in love? I hope in a fatherly, loving way you hear that. It is a beautiful thing to look around and see people who get here early. They do their fellowship time, and they're already prayerfully ready for a service to God to start, because that's when you maximize the benefits of a service. Do you guys hear that? And so, once again, please hear, if you come in late, there is no condemnation. There is only love and grace here. But also hear a healthy call that to prepare to worship in service, there needs to be intentionality to prepare. So we're not just running. If you're coming in late, you're not able to prepare your heart, and you might be coming in the middle of the Scripture, public Scripture reading. You might come after it. Some of you might not even hear the first psalm we read to prepare our hearts to get ready to exalt God and be in awe of God and grow in safety and grow in righteousness. I would encourage you to prayerfully aspire to that. Prayerfully aspire to that. Thirdly, a good discipline is, every parent knows this age-old struggle for your kid to acknowledge that you listen to them. Anyone else go through that? I'd be like, you need to do this, don't do that, enjoy that, I love you. Did you hear me? And it's just like, I'm like, did you hear me? What do we teach our kids? Can you acknowledge me? Can you say yes? Can you give a nod? Some of you might teach your kids to say yes, sir, or however the culture of your home is. Anytime someone is speaking something, a healthy thing to do is to acknowledge that you've heard them. Do you know what is a healthy practice when you sit under the public reading of Scripture? And I'm saying even primarily, not primarily, but partially for us, everyone who's trying to grow in maturity when you're listening to the public reading of Scripture, it's to give an acknowledgement. It's kind of like a period on the end of a sentence that it's finished. So I'm listening to Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We get to the end. Know what's a wonderful thing for those who want to grow in maturity? Maybe some of you just nodders. Got it. Maybe some of you are ameners. Amen. Maybe some of you are fist pumpers. Gotcha. Right? There is a maturity, and there is a help for spiritual practice of listening that when it's done, there's an acknowledgement and a gesture of it. Is that helpful, guys? Say, I got it. Wow, some of you gave the gesture. Those are three things. And with all this said, because we're trying to grow as a church in Sunday services and why we do what we do, and we see the public reading of Scripture, we see the benefits of it, we try to grow in practice of it, let's ask ourselves the question now, how do we incorporate that into our Sunday service? Okay? The first way we talked about, we open up by reading a psalm. It's a call to worship. We always read a psalm when we start, because we are called here. God called us here. That's the call to worship. That first God sought us. And no one comes to the Father unless he's drawn. a call to worship. He said, come and worship me. Come and know me. Come and be my people. Come and be encouraged. Come and exalt my name. So the first thing we do, we read from a psalm, a call to worship, and we sit under that public reading as a church. Secondly, we do expository preaching. Means most of the time we go through books of the Bible, but we always want to and believe it's far more beneficial to expose what the Scripture is saying to the people of God than to just come up with good philosophical ideas. The eternal Word of God is timeless and will benefit the believer for all eternity, so we publicly read the text. Today was a short text, but we've read whole chapters before. One of my favorite times was on Good Friday, right? When we read that long passage and preached from it, I was like, this is beautiful for the people of God to hear what the Son of God has done for us. So we always read from a passage of Scripture in preaching. When we call people to give tithes and offerings, the pattern of Scripture, what do? We read from a Scripture about giving, so you hear God calling you to give. So it's under His authority. It's not under authority of any man who's trying to get someone's money. It's under authority of God saying, do this generously, set it apart. And we see the Scripture calling us to do that. And fourthly, every week we take communion weekly. We do it every week. We read Jesus many times instructing us about communion. Do this to remember me. My body was broken for you. My blood was shed for you. We're reminded of God's love for us every time we take communion. So we could always grow in things, but this is our way of saying we're devoting ourselves to the public reading of Scripture. There's a wonderful tradition at my home every Thanksgiving. My daughters read about 3 pages about the pilgrims and how they came over here. It started with Talia. She gets up and she reads about the pilgrims, and everyone just sits there and listens. Kira got in the game last year. Talia had a share of time. I don't know if she liked it. But we all just sit there and we read about the history of the pilgrims and what they went through and why we're even having Thanksgiving. Why are we gathering today? And know what it does for that Thanksgiving meal? It enriches it. It makes it deeper. It gives it meaning. It stirs our affections. It helps us understand. It grows us in knowledge. It's a beautiful thing, that public reading that my daughters do for every Thanksgiving. It makes it so rich, our Thanksgiving experience. That's what the public reading of Scripture should do in the household of God. It should make your experience with God, your service to God, so rich that you understand why you're here. You understand what God has done for you. You understand how to grow in godliness. You understand the safety that is in God. You understand the love of God. Amen? So in closing, I want us to put into practice what we just learned, okay? And so what I want us to be thinking, I'm going to read from John 1, verse 1 through 18. You can either read along and listen, or you can just purely listen to the reading of Scripture. I want you to be thinking about being intentionally focused, thinking about how to respond, your own spiritual gesture, if you would, to the listening of God's Word. And most of all, I want you to know how much God loves you, how much He loves us, because there's nothing that's more wonderful for the people of God than sitting under the reading of the story of God, which culminated in us being redeemed by God. Amen? Wow. So I'm going to read this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from him fullness we all have received," hear this, "grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I'll clap. The scriptures attest. Him who has an ear, please hear. God loves us. He died for us. He's never given up for us. We have a future beyond anything we could ever imagine, because God is in our future. His love, his worship, eternity knowing him because of the work of his Son Jesus. Let's pray.